The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you this Monday morning. It's the 7th of October 2019. We're here till 10 a.m. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. You're very busy on the emails over the weekend, actually. We got quite a lot in from the kind of after you watched the Late Late Show on Friday. A lot of people wrote on Saturday about different guests that were on the programme, from Richie Sadler to Fiona and Jonathan, the lead lad couple, were provoked quite a reaction, all favourable, I have to say, on our emails, and other things in between, which was great. We had a great all night. I thought Riverdance kind of came alive in a spectacular fashion on Friday, being there, and the goosebumps are still they're still there. You think kind of 25 years later, you might think, I would have seen that, being there, done that, but actually it's just enormous, and it's quite moving. Which is tremendous. So we had great fun with that. And we mentioned Geoffrey Archer as well, because a lot of you have been buying his book, which is doing very, very well in the charts. And he gave a very good account for himself. And we mentioned in the course of events that on this Friday show, thinking already ahead, we'll have John Bercow, the Speaker of the House, which will be intriguing. He seems like a man of great character. And plenty to say. I'll give you more details. Enormous fun show this Friday night, but I'll tell you about that later on. It's only Monday, so let's get down to business and see what's keeping you happy or what ails you. Later on in the programme, by the way, if you're knocking around this morning, we'd love to introduce you to Scarlett Curtis. And Scarlett Curtis is somebody who wrote a book, a couple of books at this stage, but the one that she wrote that went down very well in my house was called Feminists Don't Wear Pink and Other Lies. So you might have seen it come through, whether it's your shop or through your kids at home, whatever it might be. But she's written a follow up called "It's Okay, It's Not Okay to Feel Blue and Other Lies." And that features contributions from people on the subject of mental health. An intriguing story that Scarlett has. Actually, her great grandfather was Sigmund Freud in the middle of it all. Her father being Richard Curtis, the screenwriter. So she's got quite the pedigree. But she's doing very, very well in her own right, to her credit. And I think, you know, it's funny on a Monday morning to be talking about the blues is a good thing, because sometimes people feel that way of a Monday, as you know. So it's quite probably an interesting person to have on today to shine a light on certain corners of the world. And her own story is intriguing. So we'll bring all of that to you later on in the papers today. Mixed bag of stories for you today. But just because she was here with us a few weeks ago, Cecilia Hearn had the baby, which is good news. And which she welcomed her third child into the world, a daughter called Blossom. So welcome, Blossom, and who joins Robin and Sonny. And Cecilia was on Instagram last night. She said, last night we welcomed our third child, our baby girl Blossom, into the world. So you have been blessed with another girl in your life. Funny how Geoffrey Archer said on Friday night his greatest regret was not having daughters. He just has two sons, and he said, I wish I had daughters. He's 80 years old, looks 20 years younger than that, but there you are. Former Girls Aloud star Nadine Coyle is going to head into the jungle, we're told, for the latest series of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. The Derry star was named as a contestant for next month's show over the weekend. She's 34, recently split from her long-term partner Jason Bell. Other people in it is someone from Made in Chelsea, James Haskell, who played rugby, and Corrie's Lucy Fallon. So if that means anything to you, you will now be fully informed. But it's a local interest in the sense of Nadine Coyle, who will be something, a person of interest for most of us. Glastonbury is celebrating its 50th anniversary next June, right? June 2020. So they put out the tickets for sale this weekend. They had 135,000 tickets for sale. 2 million people were registered to get involved to buy their tickets. Imagine 135,000. Lineup including the likes of Fleetwood Mac and Paul McCartney, you had to mention that. And the tickets sold out within 34 minutes. Isn't that amazing? 135,000 tickets gone. So that's a place I just don't think I could handle the muck and the sweat and the tears. But apparently it is remarkable. Okay, I've had to ask. It's terrible. I try to get to see films in advance if I can, previews or whatever, but I didn't get a chance to see The Joker in advance of it coming out. And I was too busy this weekend to get around to the cinema, so that was not on the agenda. And my poor colleagues who all went to see it and have been talking about it, and I you wreck it. Like, people wreck things when they talk about it. Not that they do wreck it, because it's like going into school. They have to shut up, and the teacher comes into the class because they go, they don't mean to, but they'll just say something, and then I'll be waiting for it to happen, and so I'm like a cranky child saying, "Stop talking about it. I haven't seen it yet," and they say, "Okay, sorry, God, okay, what's wrong with you, man?" But I haven't seen it, and interesting that one of the gang upstairs out of say four who saw it said no, and three said yes to it. So it is divisive, but. Smaller number saying no and bigger number saying yes. Anyway, that's not bothering the people who brought the film into the world, because it has surpassed all expectations, is what I'm trying to say. And it has posted the best ever October opening weekend in the States, replacing Venom as the biggest thing to happen. And it's just doing massive business. Now, not everyone's happy, because there's a scene in the film which features the music of Gary Glitter. And that's always going to be a problem for people, because he would make you squeamish, obviously. And so there's a bit of pushback on that. And I see Martin Scorsese, who'd be one of my great favourites as a director, a movie director, is in the papers today, because he talked about his definition of cinema. And he has said that he doesn't think that the Marvel films that many of you love to go and see, many of you are dragged along to see by your sons and daughters, he says they're not films. They're not proper cinema as he sees them. He says, "I don't look at them," because he said, "I tried, but that's not cinema." Honestly, he says, "The closest I can think of them, as well made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks." He thinks it's like somebody dressing up as Mickey Mouse wandering around Disneyland, which is, really, wouldn't you hate to hear that? Imagine if you were reading that going, "Oh, I'm not Martin Scorsese," thinks I'm just basically dressed up as a... Anyway, he said it isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional or psychological experiences to another human being. And of course, they all said, "You're wrong." But I'm not invested enough in Marvel to defend them, so I'll move on. And I see that Elton John is there speaking about the death of Princess Diana in his new memoir. And he reveals that he believes that the mourning for the British royal got out of hand. He said it went too much. He said that the global scale of public grief following her death was not what she would have wanted. And the funeral version of Candle in the Wind became the biggest selling single since the charts began. This is Elton John writing. "There was part of me that couldn't understand why anyone would want to listen to it. Under the circumstances, would you play it? I never did." He says, he added that the longevity of the song made him feel really uncomfortable. He wrote, "Its success meant there was footage of Diana's funeral week after week on Top of the Pops. It almost felt like the wallowing in her death, as if the mourning for her had got out of hand. And I really didn't think that was what she would have wanted." So that's it. And in a bid to quell the song's popularity, Elton John said he refused to discuss the funeral during TV interviews and has not included the updated version of the song on any greatest hits albums, because he felt it there was a time and a place. Yeah, I remember that very, very well. I remember the Sunday morning waking up to the news and being very moved by it all, strangely. And I think in retrospect, part of me feels that it felt like the British psyche was affected. And this upper lip for the first time was shaking, and that they kind of mourned publicly as a people in an emotional way that they had never done before. Before it all felt a bit, no, don't show your emotion, just keep moving on, carry on, stay calm. And this time they kind of felt, no, it's okay to cry, it's okay to be emotional, it's actually healthier. And I think something happened there at that time. But that's for psychologists and for another day.